we do it like we do it. Happy Thursday. You know how it's Thursday? I assume you're listening on Thursday because it's Pop Culture Thursday with PCP. That's right. Fun reminder. Bravo Breakdown Tuesday, Pop Culture Thursday, and the easiest way to manage us all week long is by hitting subscribe. Get those little notifications to brighten your mornings. Yay! What fun things are going on this week?
Well, this week, I think tomorrow, people are going to be listening to this on Thursday, which I think is the day, get your words together, Stacey. I know you guys don't watch this show, but I do. Love is Blind. Love is Blind season 6 has been on, and it has been just captivating everybody for so many reasons, and we can't go into them because we just don't have enough time. But the reunion is Wednesday night, so people will be listening to this, and some people will be like, yes, I watched the reunion, so maybe I'll do a little special bonus, or maybe I'll put something up on our TikTok about after the reunion, because oh my gosh, this has been like the biggest train wreck of quote unquote love, like love train wreck. Oh my gosh. Cause these people get together. If you don't know about this show, it's this concept that, or quote unquote experiment, cause it's not a show, it's an experiment, that these people, men and women, they go into quote unquote pods and they talk to each other. They basically have speed dates, and but they don't see each other, and they're supposed to fall in love sight unseen and get engaged sight unseen. And then they see each other, they finally meet, and then they go off to have like kind of a quote unquote honeymoon. And basically they basically like go to like Mexico, like a nice resort, and spend like 5 days together, and they film that. And then they come back to the city that they live in, because they do this by cities. So they're not having people like matching people. Like one person lives in Des Moines and another person lives in Dallas.
So it's not like a 90 day.
They'll
like
do it all.
If it works out on
the
show,
not 90 day.
They can geographically work it out, keep it going.
Yeah. This season's all been in Charlotte, North Carolina. And so they go back to Charlotte, North Carolina, and then they're put up in these homes. These like they were put up in these weird townhomes that really look like, honestly, they kind of freaked everybody out, because they're like new construction homes that look like ticky-tacky together homes, but they're like paper doll houses, and they just are creepy. I was like, oh no. But anyway, they put in these homes and they live together, and then on their wedding day, they're supposed to decide at that moment, yes or no, that they get married. And so basically they go through an entire wedding, and then at the altar, you could get dumped at the altar, basically. And they had 5 couples get engaged, and only 2 made it to the altar.
Risha, are there people, like, say their voices are deceptive, like some people sound more attractive than they look, or some people look more attractive than they sound. So have there been people when they hit it off in the blind phase, and then once they see each other, they're like, no, that's not what I was picturing.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's how this story blew up this season, outside of the, if you watch it, was the Megan Fox thing.
Yep.
Where the one contestant said that, I mean, you know better than I, but what was it? Basically, she was asked to say what celebrity she gets confused for, or not confused for, but what?
This is the issue too. So I am not a fan of her ex-fiance. I think he did a lot of like shitty things to her, but she didn't help herself out either. Like, she's got her own issues. She needs some therapy. She needed therapy before she came here. But basically, she kind of skirted around a little bit of the entire experiment. And she said, does anybody tell you that you look like a celebrity? And he said, yes. And before he could answer, like, they tell me I look like so-and-so. She goes, I get that too. And he's like, oh, who? Cause she's a flight attendant. So she's goes up places. And she goes, she's like, who is that? Like, MGK's wife. And he's, that actress. And I was like, fuck off. You know it's Megan Fox. You know, like, shut the fuck up. You knew it was Megan Fox before you knew it was Machine Gun Kelly. Like,
I've seen these tweets. You look like MGK. Yeah.
I've seen these tweets. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
They were making fun of her, like, all over.
They are.
Side by side, she doesn't look like Megan Fox.
She kind of looks like Megan Fox in like the eyes and like her nose and stuff. But I also get it. This is a thing where like people will say, you kind of look like so-and-so. And mm-hmm. and I can mm-hmm. get, and I could kind of see that. But she does, but to say like, I kind of look like so-and-so. But she also just said, I don't see it. I don't see it. But still to say that to somebody definitely baits them. Because also she doesn't have the body type. She doesn't look, she's not small like Megan Fox. In no way does she exude Megan Foxness. And unfortunately, this guy is shallow. Because the look on his face was like, oh my God. She looks like Megan Fox. Like, you could tell right then and there, like, his idea of, like, who he wanted to be with kind of shifted a bit. Because also, the other girl who was, like, his number one had a kid. She was very beautiful, too. But she had a kid. She kind of wanted to know more stuff. And she's very, like, and she also wouldn't let him get away with stuff. Where Chelsea, the girl who said that she looked like Megan Fox, A, says she looks like Megan Fox. Like, that's the way he reads it. And B, she was being kind of the cool girl where she just like sits around and because he always said during their honeymoon, he was like, you just like laughed at stuff and were just like always like giggly and laughing and cool. And it was like, oh no, now she's going to be an actual person and have feelings and like, you're not going to like it. And he didn't. And anyway, the thing is though, is like these shows, I work in casting for these shows. We don't put ugly people on television. Like for dating shows, there's a level, like, and Chelsea's a beautiful woman. Like she is, like, she's a beautiful woman. She doesn't have, like, people are never happy one way or the other. That's my thing. It's like either you've only got models, you never put any regular body types or regular faces or anything like that. And then when you try to skew it to just, you know, regular type people, still pretty, but regular type people, they go, why are these people ugly? Like, why are you putting fat people on here? You know what I mean? And you rip them. There's no healthy in between a lot of times with the public.
Also, it's not like she said Megan Fox. I mean, that is just off the charts attractive. That skews expectations. If she had said a pretty actress, like average pretty, but no, she went that's like being like, yeah, I look like I look like Beyonce. You know what I mean? It's just like the extreme end.
Yeah.
You're setting it too high, setting expectations. Because
if she said I look like Aubrey Plaza, which she doesn't, but Aubrey Plaza is really beautiful, but she's not Megan Fox glam bot. Like Megan Fox is a glam bot. That's what Megan Fox is. And Aubrey Plaza is beautiful, but is also like quirky and interesting. You know what I mean? Like she's attractive in so many different ways besides her face and body. And Megan Fox is kind of just attractive for her face and her body.
Did you see that that TMZ head of photographer asked Brian Austin Green? They caught him out and they asked him about it. And he had actually heard about it. And honestly, I had forgot that Brian Austin Green and Megan Fox were together just because I only think about her and Machine Gun Kelly now. But they asked Brian Austin Green and he'd heard about it and he'd seen the photo. And he was trying to be polite about it. He was like, I can kind of see it. But, you know, he was just lying out of his ass. But he did say, he's like, I think Megan would actually find this very funny. I think she'd be flattered by it. I don't think she'd be insulted in any way. So it's funny. It's going all the way back to the top.
I mean, it's gotta, but it'll be interesting to watch this reunion. I'm looking forward to it because only, one couple got married and everybody would say it's the boring couple, Johnny and Amy. But I also go, that they're the healthy couple, they're the healthy couple. Like, they're boring. Like, that's the thing. Like, now that I'm this age, I'm like, I want a boring love life. Like, give me a love life that's boring. And like, yeah, we're just sitting here watching Netflix and being boring. That's great. I'm all for that. And they're the boring couple and they're great and they're sweet. And, but like, we hadn't had open cheating. We had open cheating this year, like cheating. We had like so much going on. So it was kind of crazy. It was a crazy season.
Is there an incentive for them to, like, the longer they stay in it, and if they make it to, is there an increasing prize package depending on how far, like, do the ones at the altar get $100,000 or something? Or?
As far as I know, no. No. I mean, you're all paid the same amount of money to be on it. But I've never seen the contract that they sign. Mm. I have not seen it. But I do know, like, they're all paid the same amount of money.
Openly, if there's a prize pot, like Traders or something, you're trying to make it to
right.
The
there's
altar
no prize pot.
Like $250,000. Oh, okay. Yeah.
There's no prize pot. I mean, I think that there are certain things that, like, they're really supposed to try to make it to the altar. And maybe that was something beforehand, you know, because that's the other thing is that Love is Blind is getting sued like crazy from like previous seasons for like, A, not feeding people, for not being like disclosing stuff. There was two contestants the season before where the girl said that apparently he was homeless, living in his car, and he was an alcoholic, and the man that she got engaged to, and producers tried to keep her in this relationship, and she didn't want to be in this relationship. It ended up not being shown at all. But I mean, you've never really seen this many people drop out before the altar as you did here. So maybe they've changed it where, like, you're allowed to leave beforehand, that you're allowed to end this relationship before the altar, whereas like before it's like, no, you have to go to the altar and you have to make this decision there. So maybe they've changed it. I will say this in a little bit of, because sometimes people are like, why do they pick more specific, usually this is the commentary of like, why do they pick terrible men? And I go, well, we're not picking
it
terrible
in
men
real life
necessarily.
Too, yeah.
Exactly. And this is the thing. You want charismatic people. You want people on television that like show themselves well. Well, in the dating world, we tend to get duped by charismatic people who show themselves well as well. And just because they don't have a criminal record doesn't mean that they're not doesn't mean that they're automatically a good person. You know what I mean? Like, they do background checks. They do check up on stuff to make sure that they haven't, that they don't have a DUI, that they haven't been arrested, that they haven't been in jail for all these things. But if it's never been reported to the police, if it's never, like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, if certain things, if this person has been bad and they've done things to other women, to other people, and it's never been reported, then it's not going to show up on a background check, and we can't necessarily know. And sometimes people, they do drop out because they see all this stuff that they have to fill out, because a lot of times you have to put a certain amount of X's, like number of X's on there, like to make sure, also cross-referencing to make sure that an X isn't on the show, which is crazy. That the season beforehand too, there were exes that were on the show. That's why I think that it was a setup.
Oh, so this, like, is a pretty invasive, thorough casting process.
It's very, that's why when people are like really go off on casting, I go, they really do a lot of stuff here. So maybe like holes get shown through things. And I think we're all learning over the years through this. However, what you don't know until you don't know, until you find out things that you don't know. But it is very, very thorough. Like, to be like, can you put down your past, you know, five relationships, their email addresses, their phone numbers, their addresses too, so we can contact them to make sure that, like, you're a good person, also to make sure that they're not applying to be on the show. Because if you've got two exes applying to be on the show, they're not going to put them on there. So last season, when there were two exes on the show, those exes somehow conspired to be on the show together, to be honest with you. Like, we all were like, oh, they planned this because they didn't put each other's name on there.
Oh yeah. That happens. I watched a whole story about it. I think it was an episode of Judge Judy. these two people, friends, made up this ridiculous story. It was a whole thing, and they got on, the show aired and everything, but they said at a certain point on their trip to LA for filming, the producers started catching on and they started warning them. Like, they did expense reports. So they're like, if you bring your back your dinner receipts and they're from the same restaurant, or you know what I mean? Like, they went through with it, but yeah, they're like, it's a free trip to LA. So
this is the thing. Truth is stranger than fiction, people. Like, people are crazy. People are crazy and will do crazy things. They will. And like, some of these crazy people want to be on television and will let it all hang out. Am I saying that there are not bad actors, and I use that in quotes, bad actors, you know, in reality television, you know, who will do stuff, who will put people in bad situations just for the sake of television? There are people like that. There absolutely are. Mm-hmm. And there have been, and there will continue to be. But there also are people who will do that in their lives in general. Like, am I making Stop sense here? That it's just like,
yeah,
we're
I'm feeling targeted.
This again is a reflection of real life. Like, it's just, you know,
yeah. And also reality TV. I mean, at this point, it attracts a lot of twisted characters. I think you can't go on, like I've said about Housewives, at this point it's an established, well-known thing. No one goes in naive saying they can't.
Yeah,
they're drawn to it because they're a narcissist or something about them that says I should be displayed.
My, 100%. There's sometimes like super really nice people that you go for a show, not like a dating show, or maybe even a dating show. They're like, oh my god, they're so sweet, and this person really deserves to find love. They should not be on the show. And we won't put them on a show because A, they're not charismatic enough, which means they're not crazy enough. B, they're like, this is not a place for them. They're not going to do well on it. And we're not going to put it on them on the show. Like, there really is a certain amount of mental fortitude and insanity that you need to be on a reality television show. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about a game show. I mean, like a dating show, a housewife show, a house show, any of that stuff. Yeah. So anyway, but I'm excited to see the reunion, and we'll see if Nick and Vanessa can like hold it together on this reunion. We'll see what happens. I've even watched Love is Blind Sweden. Like, I've watched Love is Blind with subtitles.
Oh, you have.
I know.
We might need to sit you down and have a talk.
And it's okay. But I think other people will be interested to know. So, yeah. So, we'll be seeing this very shortly. Mm-hmm.
I'll take your word for it. Just tell me how it ends.
Okay. You got it. We had another big finale happen this week on Sunday when we were recording. The finale of the movie season.
You talking about the biggest night in Hollywood?
Yes, I'm talking about the biggest night in Hollywood.
We did.
That little prelude to the Vanity Fair party, that's really...
The Vanity Fair pre-party. Yeah.
That little ceremony they did where they handed out participation awards.
Yep.
Well, no, it was a pre-party to Beyonce and Jay-Z's party at the after party at the Chateau. It was all an amuse-bouche for Jay and Bey's party.
Yeah, after the party, it's the after... Yeah. Yep, it was the Oscars.
Did you guys watch?
No.
I had it on in the background. I did. I didn't see a single movie. I don't think I've seen a nominated movie in years. Are beyond my attention span.
I saw most of the nominated films because of the SAG Awards. Nomcom, but I still didn't watch. I was like, we know what's gonna happen. I was like, I don't need to watch all of this. So I just watched like some of the acceptance speeches online that I wanted to see from people that I cared about.
One that caught my eye, the acceptance speech, I was like, kind of rolled my eyes. That Emma Stone's, what did she win? Like best actress? That was when we were getting ready to do two things. One, she went on. I loved her voice. Very Luann. Sounds like she smokes 3 packs a day. And she said she had like a cough or something.
Sure.
She always sounds that. She always sounds like that. I can't judge. You're listening to me speak. But The other thing was her acceptance speech made me roll my eyes because it was one of those like, all the women nominated in this category are amazing and I share this award with you. Barf. It's so like, I get it. It's to be humble and supportive, but it's not like you guys were all on the same team. You weren't in the same production. You were competition and you won. You're bringing that award. It's just fake. It's fake. You know what I mean?
That's mm-hmm. why I love the that they show the reaction shots of all five nominees every time in the squares on the side, because you can mm-hmm. see which ones can are really good actors at hiding their. I mean, you're right. A few of them just know they're not going to win. You know, at this point, like I saw Maestro. I know, Stacey, you liked Maestro. Mm-hmm. We all knew Bradley Cooper wasn't going to win shit.
Yeah.
And yet they still showed every reaction shot of him, and it was just sad. Just so sad.
Because Maestro didn't win anything, did
it? No, but he, I mean, maybe he did not know that he was not going to win, but we all knew. Like, yeah. Maestro's won nothing the entire award season, which, like, you know, Oppenheimer won everything, so expected that. The only, mm-hmm. I saw Maestro and I saw Barbie. And Barbie, we already knew, was not going to win anything, except for music. We knew it was going to win song because it had two. And the Billie Eilish one had been winning everything. So we figured that. Do you know Billie Eilish now is the youngest person to ever win two Oscars? Because she has two at 22 years old. Younger than any actor, younger than anyone to have two. Which is remarkable for a musician.
That's somebody new to add to my hate list.
She's accomplished a lot at 22 years old. I think she has like six Grammys.
Great.
It helps too. I forget who said it. When it's always fun when you go on someone's Wikipedia, like someone her age, very successful, and then you notice her parents are highlighted in blue.
Yeah.
Which means they have their own Wikipedia page.
Yep.
She's, I mean, I don't think she's not the grandest Nepo baby in the land, but she was born into the industry. Mm-hmm. And so that always helps.
Mm-hmm. Her and her brother. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. That's her song is great. I mean, I'm not saying there's, I mean, it should have won everything, but I think the thing that everybody was talking about was the other song, the Ryan Gosling, I'm Just Ken, which the show was fine. I watched the whole thing beginning to end, but his I'm Just Ken was amazing. It was fun. I was just going to say, it's not fair that a man that attractive can have that much charisma and talent as well. I hope he's an asshole. I just hope he is. I haven't heard any stories. I know. Because it's like he's got too much going for him. There's got to be something. Is he short? No, he's not even that short.
No he's not short. He's tall.
And they even like keeps his relation. Are they married now? Him and Eva Mendes?
No, they're very secretive, but I don't believe they're legally married.
Like she went.
They probably are. We'll just find out when they get divorced.
They have a kid.
She posted, and I don't know if it's IG or Snap or whatever, of her wearing his pink jacket that he performed in the song.
Yeah, she stayed backstage. So I mean, they're very like they're not doing this for red carpet attention. Mm-hmm. I can't get inside their heads. This is all like beyond my scheming.
I wasn't entirely sure if Ryan was actually singing live. I mean, generally they do at this shows. But I was even a little more confused when he, at one point, I mean, I know you guys watch it because I made you guys watch it. But he jumps into the front row and is singing and he pulls the mic over to Greta Gerwig and America Ferrara and Margot from the movie. And they're trying, you know, he's holding the mic out to them and they're singing, but you don't hear their voices. So I'm like, oh, is this pre-recorded? Is that mic like not even on? And then he walks over and does the same thing to Emma Stone, which it didn't even occur to me, their relationship because of La La Land and Crazy Stupid Love. But you could hear Emma Stone. You could hear that beautiful rasp. And I was like, okay, so now I know he's singing live because of that cigarette-ridden,
that
beautiful,
sweet
beautiful
nicotine
rasp.
Baritone.
So as far as I can tell, he was actually singing live. Mm.
Yeah.
Like I said, the thing for me of the night, and I hate to admit what a needy loser I am, but I was updating you guys by text. I was going the Vanity Fair party. Mm-hmm. Big deal. I have not been. I don't know who I have to, not that I have any right to be there. I don't even know movie things, but still I want to go. And so yeah. I was doing it the most. This is the way, you guys, if you want to keep live on an event, it's not TMZ. Go to Getty Images and search the event, and they live update photo by photo. And you can also do it for people who are there. So I wanted to cry. The people who were there was amazing. Oh, yeah, yeah, movie stars and stuff. Whatevs. On Oscar night, you had Jeff Bezos, Lauren Sanchez, the Kardashians, the Hiltons. You had Larry David, Nancy Pelosi. It was just like,
That's a conversation.
Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, yeah, she looked good.
She looked great.
All of them.
I'm loving this renaissance of Lindsay Lohan where she's doing red carpets again. This is fantastic. Yeah. But I would say, and I think I told you by text, Jordan, that if you're going to crash one, Vanity Fair is not that hard to crash. Like really? It's not, well, compared to, you know, I would not try to crash the Oscars red carpet. I will tell you that right now. There isn't, I don't know if we've talked about it before. Do you know there's an Oscars jail? Like there's a jail on site that they will throw you in the jail if you try to trespass.
Yes. You have a picture of yourself inside of that jail.
I do.
I For thought funsies? You did. Yeah.
No, I've been in the jail. I don't even know if I was allowed to take a photo.
I thought you had a photo in front of that. Or maybe you just told me about it and I'm
that could be.
It.
Yeah. There's like a LAPD. It's basically a substation that's below the stairs that you go to go into the Dolby. It's the Dolby now, right? Yeah. Still Dolby.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you try to trespass, they will arrest you and they will put you in this jail on site. We had a PA once who tried to sneak her way onto the carpet from our trucks, and she got put in jail and we had to get her out. Yikes. I had to talk security out of throwing Kimora Lee Simmons into the jail because she tried to sneak on the carpet. They do not mess around with that. She was not credentialed. You have to be on the Oscars red carpet, you either have to be invited, like the celebrities, or you have to be credentialed. And Kimora was neither. Because she was our fashion expert back at the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel. So she was not supposed to be on the carpet. So she was in a gown, but she tried to sneak on. And she tried to sneak on using the excuse, I'm Kimora Lee Simmons. And that didn't fly.
Wow. You kind of shouldn't. I don't know whether you should have bailed her out, whether you should have made it very clear she owed you something. I don't know. You had a lot of power in that moment. I don't know. She still owes you a favor, I'd say.
You know what? Honestly, I will say that over the 10 years that I worked at E! On these shows, Kimora doing the random shit that Kimora did was always the funniest. At the SAGs, I saw her with my own eyes use a porta potty. Like old school, not even the nice porta potties, like an actual like blue porta potty. And she was wearing a gown. I don't even know what she did in there. I don't know how that happened. And on her way home from that SAG award, she stopped by Jack in the Box and tried to hand me the receipt to pay her back, which was great. It was very funny.
She tried to
like expense a Jack in the Box receipt to me that she got on her way home from, I think it was the SAGs. It might've been another award show. And I was like, you know what? I respect this.
What was the order? Were there the 2-for-1 tacos in there?
It was no tacos. She definitely were mozz sticks. I remember mozzarella sticks. I can't remember. I would have known tacos because I would have paid her on the spot. Because if you like Jack in the Box tacos, you're good in my book. Mm-hmm. One of the things about the Oscars, and I've discussed this before when I was a little morbid saying I like to walk around celebrity cemeteries like the Westwood one, is the in memoriam. Like, I don't say I look forward to the in memoriam, but it's like one of the cool things to watch just because it's usually pretty well done. It's like well produced and it makes you sad to remember all those. But it's always funny to see the big controversies of who was snubbed afterwards because people get so upset if they're like the – I don't even know that how some of these people have stands, but they do. Like people were up in arms that Suzanne Somers was snubbed from this year's In Memoriam. And I guess
she belongs more to the Emmys.
I guess she has diehard fans because people were really upset about it. But I was like, I remember her in American Graffiti And she didn't even have any lines in America. She was just like the girl, the woman driving around in the T-Bird. But I can't, I mean, are we counting like, no, we're not counting like Lifetime movies because that's Emmys. But so that was strange. I don't know why people were so upset she wasn't on there. I was upset that Treat Williams, who recently was played William Paley on the feud on Swans, he wasn't on there, which kind of bummed me because he actually is a legit film actor.
Yeah.
But there's always snubs every year, but it's just so funny to see people upset. Hell, at the BAFTAs, the month before, which is, you know, the British Oscars, they didn't put Matthew Perry, who, you know, yes, TV star, obviously, but I'd say a pretty big film star as well.
Are the BAFTAs restricted to British things?
Like no, because they had to. Or? They actually had to address it, and because the people were up in arms about it, and that what they said is they do have a separate television awards, their version of the Emmys, and they said we'll address it there. But that doesn't really answer why you didn't. Because, I mean, I can name half a dozen not only Matthew Perry movies, but great Matthew Perry movies.
Mm-hmm. I only know that one, like Fools Rush In, I think.
That's I was counting that for two because it's so good. Whole nine yards, whole ten yards.
Yep.
That one he did with Elizabeth Hurley, I think it was called like Saving Sarah. He made some great movies. So fuck the BAFTAs is what I'm saying.
And remember, and his first one, A Night in the Life of Jimmy Reardon with River Phoenix.
Oh, old school. Mm-hmm. Old school.
Deep cut.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
RIP both of them.
Oh, too soon for River Phoenix. Too soon. It's like 30 years ago.
Well, I think we should in memoriam this segment.
Be right back.
Hey guys, it's Jen, and I host the Beauty Pop podcast along with Victoria Keelan. And if you haven't been listening to Beauty Pop, well, you've been missing a lot. Check it out.
Here's my next hack. You may think it's a little cringe, but I've done it and it works. If you don't have powder for your face and you're getting a little shiny and you don't have any blotting papers,
I know where you're
what's
going.
In the bathroom that's the same material as a blotting paper?
You can use your seat cover for the toilet.
Yep. It is the exact same material.
So if you're looking for product reviews, makeup tips, some pop culture news, be sure to follow the Beauty Pop podcast. New episodes drop every single Thursday, and you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite shows.
You know, speaking of in memoriam, possibly, allegedly, we don't know, but we also can't. They won't give us an answer. We always assume the worst. Fingers crossed for her highness. What the F is going on with Kate Middleton, the Princess of Wales?
That is a great question. Because nobody knows the answer to it. But the conspiracy theories are TikTok is blowing up with this shit. Every day I see great new ones.
I wasn't giving it much credence until like that picture came out. Even I was looking at that picture and I go, there's some shit wrong with this picture. Even actually the angle of her hands was weird. And I was just like, I was like, give this woman a break. I've been saying it for weeks. Give this woman a break. And then the stuff's coming out. And I was like, okay, now stuff's getting weird. I don't know.
Last week on this show, I said, all they need to do is give like a proof of life photo. I said, like something in the garden. Which like I described.
As soon as it's so funny. I think that photo came out like Saturday maybe. And as soon as I saw that, I was like, that's exactly what Jordan said to do. I mean, it's weird that Prince William isn't in it. And then the immediately people noticed that she wasn't wearing a ring in it. Like the little Photoshop things didn't really pop up. They popped up as the day went on, which is weird because her ringless hand was around Charlotte. Or was it Charlotte? Where that was the first Photoshop or AI, whatever it is, thing that popped up was that Charlotte's hand was really weird. Like the
wrist was crooked to the sleeve with a slight blur. It clearly had been. Like, the thing is, there are two theories here. One, we don't even know what she is. I doubt she's tweeting. But if she needs help, I'll slide into my DMs. But
they need help. They do.
Mm-hmm. But what I was going to say.
You already work for one queen.
Yeah. Oh boy. But what was I going to say is, oh yeah. Okay. Two theories. One, they finally, with all the backlash, said it had been photoshopped.
Yeah.
Which is, I get it. We all do it. But the theory, the stronger theory here is that it wasn't even photoshopped, that it wasn't a current photo. People have dug back and looked. The outfits look like tinted versions of outfits they wore at an event in November, meaning this picture isn't a current update. It's old, pre-surgery. Mm-hmm. The other thing that people have lined up is that her face is like identical to her Vogue cover.
A Vogue cover from 2016. By the way, an 8-year, I just watched a TikTok before he jumped on of a guy who was doing he did like an overlay of the two. They're identical, like everything about them, even the tilt of the head is identical. So that's an 8-year-old face, which is bizarre. Everything, just everything about this is so bizarre. And the fact that on Saturday, as the day went on, more and more people were like, this is looking weird. And then at the end of the day, you see that AP and Getty issue a kill notification for the photo, which I saw on Twitter, I think it was, somebody who's an editor at AP, and they said, kill notifications for stories are very rare. They happen. So, you know, a kill notification basically is AP or Getty or somebody telling all the outlets, pull this. Do not post this. There's problems with it. And it in stories, it can kind of happen. This editor said she has never even heard of it for a photo. Like, she's like, I don't know what's happening here, which is, it's just bizarre. And like you said, with the tweet where they made it seem like Kate was tweeting on her own, and she was falling on the sword. I keep seeing that expression, but if something's really wrong with her, that's a horrible phrase. But they kept saying that she was taking the blame. They made it seem like the Duchess Princess of Wales now, I guess, right? That she was like at night fiddling with Photoshop, like just like any normie would do. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's true. And they tried to claim that, you know, that the reason William wasn't in the photo was because he took the photo. So people are like, oh, that's sweet. But then you look at it and you're like, that looks like a very professional photo. That is not like something that William whipped out an iPhone for.
The whole thing is like bizarre. They just need to get, and the thing is, like, it's not like, at least I know we don't, and I don't think most of the world wishes her harm at all.
No, we're she hoping seems,
this is just a huge, like, embarrassing, innocent joke. Like, these people just can't get their social media right.
She seems genuinely beloved, even like among the anti-royalist. Like, she, nobody has anything bad to say about her.
I always say that she is our generation's Jackie Kennedy. When you look at her, the poise, the grace, the way she handles it, and she's in the same position, kind of. Like, to me, when I look to her, see her, and she sometimes wears like the skirt suits or the pillbox hat, I'm like, no, she's an icon. And but why can't you just give us something simple and straightforward? Are you hiding?
What does Meghan, the firm, isn't that how they're referred to? The royal family's the firm. They've fumbled a lot of things over the years, like the Diana death specifically. They've fumbled a lot, but they've also had plenty of practice at PR. How are they this bad at it right now? They're just, all people wanted was, again, I hate using the phrase, like a proof of life, just show something, I saw people say, like, just throw up an IG story, like video, you know, an IG live, IG story, something. And they keep releasing these things that are, first, at last week that we talked about, it was that grainy photo in the car with her mom that people weren't sure if that was her, if it was manipulated. Then they released this ridiculous AI or Photoshop photo. Then they tried again Monday this week where William has been out this week. He's actually done a few events, but he's not addressing it. But at one of the events, he was in the car with what they said was Kate, but it was, again, grainy, and you could, it was dark on the, because it was, you could see William in the window, and it was allegedly Kate next to him, but it was a profile shot, very dark. She was not at the event. I don't know why she was in a car with him if she wasn't going to the event. That's weird. But they're just so bad at this. It's
like, I've been quoting Rinna on this from the Denise Richards Brandy scandal this whole time. Because it's not like, it's like the cover up is bigger than the crime.
Yes.
Like, we don't need to know. Just like give us something or stop lying. Be silent then. But just putting out these things, the more you lie, the more we suspect something that could be an innocent private medical thing. Now we have theories beyond plastic surgery. A lot of people are like, is she alive? I don't think it goes that far in real life. But, you know, I mean, it's just like you're antagonizing us at this point. We're going to run with it.
Like, you're absolutely right. If they had done nothing, because they're still on the timeline they said from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. They said she's going in for a surgery. She'll be in the hospital for 2 to 3 weeks. She will not do any public appearances till after Easter. They're still on that timeline. Mm-hmm. It's not like we blew past Easter and everybody's like, where is she? So them doing all these things is just weird. And of course, everybody's going to come up like with every, I've heard every conspiracy possible. It seems like it's
this. I feel like this is a bit, this is a greater moment for all of us, really a learning moment. That's not the phrase I want to use. A teachable moment yes. for all of us to hold firm to our boundaries, that when we say something, that we're going to do something, that we do it. So they said that she wasn't going to do anything until after Easter. Well, then, yeah, leave the bitch alone and don't do anything until after Easter. Like, fuck Jordan in his proof of life picture, because obviously that fucked everything up even more. Don't listen to stupid heads like Jordan or stupid heads like other people on TikTok. Just let her lay low. And then once she all of a sudden comes out spring chicken with her new tummy tuck and her new boobs and butt and everything like that, so she'd be great after Easter. Like, she's like a fresh, she's fresh as a daisy. But yeah, they fucked everything up by listening to people too much. I mean, I'm very much of like, I like kind of the modernizing of the monarchy, kind of slowly picking apart the never complain, never explain type of thing. I think they should be more transparent. And obviously King Charles is doing that with his medical condition and then telling everybody that she was going to go into the hospital, wouldn't be around. Well, they've done that. Well, then stick to it. Then don't, not right. everybody, it's the execution. Not everybody needs to know. Yeah, exactly. So like, it's, if a you teachable stay moment. Silent.
Yeah, well, we speculate. That's fine, whatever. But now you're putting out lies. It's just sketchy. And then we assume the worst. Mm-hmm. Like, it just made it. So, even basically, Kensington Palace needs to hire me as...
They do. Well, we know Prince George listens to this. So let's hopefully that gets it up the flagpole. Like, one of the... Even like one of the
experience, no,
tame it. I wouldn't call it tamest because it would be a big scandal for them. But like, people are saying, maybe they're separated. Maybe that's what's happening here. But that doesn't even explain it, because the royal family's dealt with a lot of divorce. You know, Charles, Camilla, Diana, Fergie, Andrew. Like, they've dealt with it enough that they would be able to handle that better than what
they have a mistress on the throne.
Yeah, the current Queen of England is a mistress. They know what they're doing.
I will never let that die. Yeah. Team Diana.
Yeah, yeah. So,
and we have a pedophile prince there too. So, you know, that is
true. Mm-hmm. Andrew, right? Yeah,
Andrew. Yeah. One of the more reasonable theories that I've seen is that people think that maybe it's like something like Crohn's disease, perhaps. Because they keep the abdominal related. And then I've seen a number of people that have Crohn's and were like, this timeline would make sense. It would also make sense that if she had some sort of surgery related to Crohn's, it's possible she has a colostomy bag, if even temporarily.
Oh, so it's like, it's If that's the case, I would prefer her to stay. It's just not good for her image. I get it. It'd be embarrassing.
But think about the spotlight that could put on.
You don't want to see Kate's shit bag? Like,
That's why. I mean, I like to think it was like a facelift, a bad haircut. But if it is something like that, I absolutely get the need for privacy because her whole job is to maintain the image. But
at the same time, something like that could like put a spotlight on a good cause without actually, I mean, they don't have to show her, but even say, yeah, okay,
just Jordan shaking his head back and forth. No, it's like Danny DeVito. And There's Always Sunny, that meme, that no.
She's Kate Middleton, Princess of what? I'm just gonna call her England's Bouvier. I mean, she doesn't go to the bathroom. It just doesn't happen.
Well, my favorite new theory is that she got pregnant via an affair, and the specific person that they're saying the affair with, it was a guy named Thomas Kingston. I don't know if you've heard that name before. He is married. I should say he was married to Lady Gabriella Windsor, who's Charles's second cousin. And Thomas Kingston also Pippa's ex-boyfriend, Pippa Middleton.
Yeah. And he also recently, on a live
show. He also recently died.
Shot himself.
Well, right? three weeks ago, he died of what they just called a traumatic head wound, and they said a weapon was found nearby. Mm-hmm. Now, at the time, there were no real, I mean, again, this could totally be somebody on TikTok just going ape shit, crazy, making shit up. But I guess
I said earlier, people are crazy.
Like, he dated Pippa. He's part of that circle because he's married to a Windsor. Evidently, he and Kate do have like a friendly relationship to the point where he released messages wishing her well and things. This is where we've gotten that people are accusing them of having an affair, him making her get an abortion, and then him getting murdered by the royal family, allegedly. Like, that's where we've gotten.
Considering we still don't know who cut the brakes on the Mercedes in the Paris tunnel, but
I think we need to stop everything right there. Just stop. Let's move on to some other Brits. Let's talk about some other brakes on another car, like a Red Bull car. So, like, let's talk about that car. Let's go back to Christian Horner.
We have a nice update from last week, where I think last week where we left off, he had been cleared more or less by Red Bull about these inappropriate texts, even though nobody believed that at all. But since last week, we've learned that the woman who accused him of the inappropriate behavior and sexual text, she has been suspended by the team instead of him. Now she is suspended with pay, so I guess that's something. Mm-hmm. But of course, that's the way this was going to end.
There's also talk that she's been paid out £700,000 or maybe dollars. I don't know. 700,000 somethings from Christian Horner himself and another 300 from Red Bull. That's a rumor that I've heard. But something else I've been hearing is that, so there are two team owners, like two families. There's the Austrian portion, the owners, they own less than 50%. They still own a lot of it. But then there's the Thai owners that own the majority of it. They are very pro-Christian Horner, excuse me, not the faith, pro-Christian Horner. Yeah. And the Austrians are kind of anti-Christian. They've been wanting him out for a while. And they've been working kind of with some other people and they don't like what's going on. And it looks like the Thai owners are kind of the ones that were like spearheading what I am going to term the cover-up investigation that was like, he's okay, he's cleared. Mm-hmm. Well, in the last few days, because of what has happened with Helmut Marko, who is a big who is he exactly? Can you explain
to
people who he is?
His title is senior advisor. He's basically been he's basically the mentor of the main driver, Max Verstappen. Max gives this man Helmut credit for bringing him onto the team. And Helmut's gotten dragged into this because they're saying that he's the one responsible for all the texts getting leaked to on WhatsApp, which is very funny because Helmut is an 80-year-old man who I very much doubt has any idea how to use WhatsApp. If I were to ask my father about if he knows how to leak text, well, first of all, he would not know what WhatsApp is, but it's very unbelievable that they think an 80-year-old did this. Mm-hmm. It's absurd.
Yeah. Well, it seems that like Christian is trying to throw Helmut Marko under the bus, which then if Helmut Marko gets fired, there's basically a kill clause in Max Verstappen's contract that says, if Helmut Marko goes, I'm allowed out of my contract. Now, Max has a contract through 2028. So he still has 4 more years on a contract. And to let the world champion and the number one driver on the grid go, the owners are not very happy. So now the tie owners seem to kind of be like, maybe Christian's the problem, not everybody else.
Well, the true, if this is in fact the breaking point, the one that you just told me about prior to this recording, that somehow now the band U2 is involved in this, because evidently the brother of the woman who's at the center of this, who was sent the text, who's the plaintiff in the lawsuit, I suppose, her brother happens to be the brother-in-law of The Edge, lead guitarist for U2. Mm-hmm. And evident, Stace, you sent this to me, but you can probably maybe explain it better, but I'm not still entirely sure.
I mean, I don't know if I'm completely sure either, but I guess the band U2 is basically kind of standing behind this woman. I don't know her name, even though her face has been like leaked. But she was she was his personal assistant for years. But because basically the band wants to release a song called "Don't Be Horny, Be a Christian."
Now, are we sure that's about him, though? I mean, that could be about anybody.
I mean, it really could. It really could. But I mean, I first heard it on a YouTube video, and then I had to Google it, and I was like, wait a minute, is this true? And it's like, apparently it's really true. There are a few other things, though, too. In fact, there is a call here in the States for people to boycott drinking Red Bull because of what's been going on, you know, especially, and there's even been talk about Walmart pulling Red Bull, which Walmart pulling Red Bull kind of shocks me, because I don't think of like Walmart being a quote unquote woke, you know, brand, but
especially since it seemed to start as like a grassroots, hey, we should boy, you know, it hasn't reached that like Bud Light level,
Exactly. And look, I mean, I boycott Red Bull already because I just think energy drinks are trash. So
Red Bull, I think I'm dying. So I've been boycotting Red Bull since Vegas, like 2008.
Ditto. Like, well, you and I have delicate constitutions too.
We do.
So, but apparently that's another reason that the Thai owners are kind of like, because it might really start impacting their bottom line. Because if places in the US where Red Bull, let's even forget about F1, where Red Bull is a huge market, I think maybe their top market, stops, like, if places aren't selling it, if people are boycotting it over Christian Horner, they're like, bye-bye, yeah, you're the problem. And the funny thing is, too, is we were talking about this beforehand, that people were talking about Max Verstappen leaving, and he was talking about how, Max is not the team. people seem to think that the team would be over if Max left. And he's going on and on about how there's, you know, 4,100 people who work at Red Bull Racing and this and that and this and that. But the thing is that Christian Horner acts like everybody else is a team member, but he's like, he is the team. Like that mm-hmm. he makes the team work. That the team wouldn't be anything without him.
And, yeah.
Mm, I mean, what did he say? Mm. What's his quote?
His quote was, Max is part of the team. Helmut is part of the team. I lead the team. And then as part of the same quote, he says no individual is bigger than the team, even though he clearly considers himself bigger than the team.
He's leading the team into disaster. Let's just say that.
Yeah, no, they're not going to keep him around. They would keep him around for a lot less than ruining their brand worldwide. Like they would fire him far sooner than that. So evidently there's rumors that he'll be gone by the next race, which is into a week and a half. So we'll see. But this saga is just, they got some sagas over there, huh? It's getting saucy over across the pond.
It's getting so saucy, and I'm not surprised because of what an asshole Christian Horner is. We've seen him do it. I mean, I've seen him do it over the years of Drive to Survive, where he tries to paint himself as like this father figure to a lot of the drivers, you know, the Red Bull drivers and stuff like that. Like he's saving them. Like there was early on in the season of Drive to Survive, like with taking on Daniel Ricciardo as like the number three driver and like having him do promo stuff. And it's like, oh, you're so magnanimous here. Like you're like, oh, that like we're bringing him back into the fold. And like, you know, oh, that you're doing him such a big ass favor. I mean, yes, you are, but you're acting like everybody should be kissing your ass, like especially Daniel should be kissing your ass for like allowing him to come back. I mean, it's bringing Daniel back was a PR stunt for you. It was completely strategic. It's PR because Daniel is a fan favorite. People love Daniel, especially here in the States. People love Daniel. So like nobody wants to see Daniel go. That keeps Daniel here. If anything happens, then Daniel gets to race and that looks good for you. And obviously stuff went down with AlphaTauri. So then he got to start racing at AlphaTauri. And so you look good. But also this is the thing, the way he was talking all season, at least of what we see in the interviews, is, oh, if things go well with Daniel, you're the savior and you did this great thing for Daniel. But if things go bad, if Daniel doesn't do well, then you kind of called it all along and you were just a really nice guy giving Daniel his last chance at F1. You know, I mean, he played it. You could see the machinations working. That man is always strategizing and always doing this. There's nothing that comes from the goodness of his heart. Look, I think there's a couple of other team principals that are like that too, like Zach Brown, and like there's a few others, you know, and you've got to always be thinking and being conniving like that. But the fact that he tries to play like, oh no, I've got a heart and I care. Excuse me, sir. You don't leave your pregnant partner for a Spice Girl if you've got a heart. I don't think so. No, 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 no. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. So yeah. I'm enjoying watching the fall of Christian Horner, and I hope to continue to watch the fall. Because I truly thought, I was like, nothing's going to happen to this man. But I think I I hate Jos Verstappen as well. But Jos Verstappen talking, whatever they tried to do to Helmut Marko, like it just, again, almost like with the Kate Middleton thing, like the cover up makes it worse than actually the crime. Like, I feel like whatever he's been doing to try to cover up what he did is actually backfiring spectacularly. And I'm here for it. I got popcorn. I bought kettle corn at Trader Joe's today. I'm just sitting here eating it. Fuck buttered popcorn. Get that kettle corn out for me. Kettle corn in this house or nothing at all. Yep. Well, do you have anything else to add to that?
I do not.
All right. Well, we'll see. We don't have a race this week. Australian Grand Prix is on the 23rd, so it's next week. Everybody enjoy St. Patrick's Day. That is on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You and I don't drink anymore, so it's kind of like
no. That was a holiday that was definitely way more fun when we drank.
It is yeah. way more fun when you're a lush. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Eating corned beef and cabbage just it hits differently after 8 Guinnesses.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, how did you fit that in after 8 Guinnesses? I don't know how you did that.
That's a good question. It's a great question.
Well, you were a different man back then. That's true. So yeah, everybody have a great St. Patrick's Day. We'll see you guys next Tuesday with Bravo Breakdown. Again, reminder, you've got two episodes a week, but coming at you on different days. Yes, we're mixing things up, but that's Pluto moving into Aquarius for you. There you go. Yeah. Look, I can do a whole breakdown of Jerry and Christian's charts. Oh my God. Maybe I'll do that on TikTok too. I should do that. Ugh. Craziness. But don't forget, Jordan had to leave us early because he had to go back to work. So don't forget to rate, subscribe, follow and review us on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you're following us so as soon as episodes drop, you are notified or they just pop up in your queue like magic, but it's technology. And also make sure that you are following us on TikTok and Instagram at Pretty Corrupt Podcast and Twitter. I'm never going to call it X. It is Twitter for life at Pretty Corrupt One. You can also follow us. You can follow Jordan. Jordan is at Jordan Ross Myers. Nate is at Nate Safer, and I am at Real Stacey Connor. So you can follow all of us and see what goes on in our pathetic little lives when we're not, aren't talking into the void and to our microphones. So with that, Aaron Cabra. Cause no one can do it like we do it, like we do it, like we do it. Cause no one can do it like we do it, like we do it, like we do it.